The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus told this parable to his disciples. The kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were sensible. The foolish ones did take their lamps, but they brought no oil, whereas the sensible ones took flasks of oil as well as their lamps. The bridegroom was late, and they all grew drowsy and fell asleep. But at midnight there was a cry, "The bridegroom is here, go out and meet him." And at this, all those bridesmaids woke up and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish ones said to the sensible ones, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." But they replied, "There may not be enough for us and for you. You had better go to those who sell it and buy some for yourselves." They had gone off to buy it when the bridegroom arrived. Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding hall, and the door was closed. The other bridesmaids arrived later. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you solemnly, I do not know you. So stay awake, because you do not know either the day or the hour." The Gospel of the Lord. In the time that I've been here, which has just gone into the fifth year, we've had 109 funerals across the parish. You may think that sounds a lot, but my last year in London, I know I did 150. Which works out at about 3 a week. At the moment, I seem to be having 2 a week here. And yet, in many ways, it's among the most important things that I'm asked to do, because it always is a great statement about who and what we are. In November, this whole month that the church gives us to pray for and to remember the holy souls is also a very important month. But one subject that we often, or people don't want us to talk about today, is death and dying. And yet, it's the one reality that affects all of us throughout life, at different points of our life, when friends, relations, parents, wherever it is, go. But it's also one that will affect all of us one day too. And when we were training in initially, we were made to study particularly some of the great passages. Paul has a whole chapter, 15, in Corinthians about it. He has another chapter in his second letter, chapter 5. We had this great passage from Thessalonians that was our second reading. And I wanted to pick that up because Paul is absolutely clear. If there's one thing that we stand for, that we are, it's the risen community. Christ is alive. Christ, the first fruits for us, and we are always alive to him. And Paul is very keen in that first reading to say, we want to be quite certain. Not shaky, not wondering, quite certain about those who have died. Some translations speak of, and the New Revised Standard Version does, speaks of those not died, but they say asleep. And there is a sense in which it's always a sense that we are in a deep sleep, but we're never actually dead to God. Jesus always says that. For that we are always alive to him. And in that very strange verse that can seem strange in St. John's Gospel, and he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And even if he does, yet he is alive." And we think, but we know, Lord, we're all going to lie here or some similar place when it's our own turn. What does he mean? He means that we're actually never dead to God. The old has to be left behind, but the real is what goes on. And so that sort of sleeping bit, as it were, makes sense of the resurrection. We're in that deep sleep, but awaiting that belief in the resurrection. And it's not a euphemism to say that we're asleep, because in a way, it's almost underlying the fact that death is not the end. And it's St. Augustine picks that up. He says, why does it say they are asleep? If not, because they will be raised when their day comes. Lord, for your faithful people, life is changed, not ended. When the body of our earthly dwelling lies in death, we gain an everlasting dwelling place in heaven. One of the prefaces in the Eucharistic prayer for the dead. So the most important thing that St. Paul's getting across is that as Christian people, we have this great hope. And that hope we can bring to others, hope in the midst of our sadness. Because we're not trying to say that it's not understandable that we do go through a great time of grief and feel sad and mourn for those who have died. Of course we do. We've loved them. They loved us. Of course that's important. Grief is important. But it's not to take over. And that's what St. Paul's saying. Because the people who have no hope are lost, as it were, in their grief. A person who doesn't believe in resurrection and who sees death as totally annihilation, which a lot of our contemporaries do, they've every reason to weep and to lament and to cry over friends and relations. We share in a sense of that loss, but hope in that resurrection. And always remember that when John the Baptist had been killed, it said Jesus and his disciples withdrew. I remember we had it a few months ago now, when it came in the readings, and Jesus, they wanted that time to be together. Just like you do as families and friends when something like that happens. We come together, we support each other. They weren't given the chance because the crowd followed them. But Jesus too shared exactly what we go through. In the same way that the shortest verse in the scriptures, Jesus wept at the death of his friend Lazarus. But that's not the end. He was able to cry, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead came forth. Hope. We want you to be quite certain about those who have died, not to be like the people who have no hope. Hope, that great neglected of the triad of faith, hope, and love, but that hope central to our belief. I think one of the great contributions as Christians we can make when people gather, as they will next weekend, at the war memorials around the country, and indeed across the world, as they gather there, is to inject some hope. It's not just to remember those who made the supreme sacrifice. We are doing that, of course we are, but it's much more than that. It's an injecting into it that they didn't waste their lives, that their lives are with the Lord. They didn't die in vain because they're always alive to God. And so therefore, that psalm response comes in today. For you, my soul is thirsting, O Lord my God. Because we come from him, we belong to him, we go back to him. And with such thoughts, in this month of the Holy Souls, we should comfort one another.